Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there, this is Sharon Hoskins. In our conversation today, we will be defining the different types of sins described in scriptures so that we can have an idea about how sin sneaks into our lives. We tend to categorize sins on levels of big and small. And although these different types of sins are categorized in avenues by which we allow them in our lives, there are no real levels of sin, levels of big and small. So join in the conversation as we define types of sins. I thought I would begin by reading Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
You know, that's a beautiful prayer to start off with, really, daily. And it does give us a hint in those first two verses that sin has different names. It's known also as transgressions. It's known as iniquity. And it's known as sin. And I like, as you go through Psalms 51, that as he holds himself accountable before the Lord, then it brings him to a point of what I'd almost call sincerity of heart, where over in verse 10, he then says, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Father God. So can you see how he goes from a point of asking for mercy, recognizing his helplessness and his hopelessness, mm-hmm. to seeing hope for asking for a clean heart and then asking for joy. And then he also ends that particular chapter with, but the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, O Lord, you will not despise. So I love the beauty of how when he wants to commune with Father God and he is waiting on the Spirit to enable him, mm-hmm. how he doesn't mention here really fear one time.
Right.
All right. And we right now are encompassed with a fear nation, with a fear economy, with a fear personality because of unknown circumstances.
Right.
And David had all kinds of unknown circumstances, but when he was looking in the Master's face through prayer, he was asking basically, conform me to what you want me to be. Conform me to your likeness.
Right.
And I love that really when we are plagued with problems, we really have two sides of a wall that we can stand on. We can stand on the fear side, or we can stand on the other side where we will be able to ask these things in faith.
Right.
And in the New Testament, the Lord says we must walk by faith. So does that make sense, Sharon?
I love this idea that we're defining these different ways that sin creep into our lives. Because here I hear David talk about three different aspects of sin. They're all sin, but these are different ways that sin comes into our life. And what I hear a lot of times is that we kind of categorize sin as if there's this big sin of murder and then sexual immorality. And then there's these other little sins like little white lies and gossip. And so it helps us see as we go through these six different types of sin, with each one of those, it kind of opens our eyes to see these subtle little ways that we allow Satan to let us step over into his playground.
Yes, and we can also go back and see how those sins do get a stronghold with us by how our mind is choosing to think, how our emotions mm-hmm. are dictating and controlling. So there is a lot of deep theology just in what we're going to look at today, but we do want to address it in a simple way to where someone can see how through our different actions, deeds, words, mindsets, it creeps in. And let me also say, do you know that in the passage where we have in Galatians 5, as you were talking about the different categories?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that gossip holds an equal billing with murder, robbery, drunkenness. So it is sobering when we try to classify the little sins and, well, you know, everybody expects you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Lord says, well, you know, do you expect everybody to murder? So
right.
It does cause us to be called into an accountability. So just a point for thinking.
Okay.
Okay.
And we find that in Galatians 5.
That is in Galatians 5, starting in with verse 19. So go ahead and let's see, where do you want to start today?
Well, I think we should start by defining sin in general.
At the beginning. Well, sin is the principle. When we say sin, S-I-N, we're speaking about the principle of the old nature that became dominant at the fall, at the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
When Adam yielded his authority that God had given him to run the world that God had placed him in and created him for, name the animals, and to mm-hmm. take care of the creation. And Adam chose to turn that over to Satan when they chose to eat of the fruit.
Okay.
So with that in mind, we need to recognize that S-I-N is a principle.
Okay.
All right. But then that principle has an application side to it. We have the word sins. Just take sin and add an S on it. And that's where we have the application side.
Okay, so sin is the principle and sins is the application.
And there's different ways you can say that. You can say that sin is the position that we are in because of the fallen state.
Okay.
And then our condition is the way we have chosen to live that.
Oh, okay.
All right. We can say there is union and then there is communion. Union would be how we are grounded in Jesus Christ because of being new creatures in Him. And then the communion is the way we choose to live our life before the Lord and for others. So you can say position, condition, union, communion, sin, sins. There's two sides of the coin.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
All right. So right now we're going to say sin is a principle. And then we need to realize that basically the sin principle is anything that falls short of giving God the glory. And that would be Romans 3:23. All right. So okay. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us who think that we are sinless.
Right.
And they can say, but I'm a good person. And so with that thought in mind, then they don't see themselves as being a sinful creature that needs to be redeemed.
And so the first step in getting out of sin is?
Well, the very first step is John 3:16. Okay, we need
absolutely.
To become a new creature. But once we are new creatures, then Romans 6 tells us what we have been given so that we can now live the way a new creature has been called to live and been equipped to live.
Okay.
And that's understanding the cross.
Right.
Understanding that your sin principle was taken care of, your sins were taken care of so that you don't have to be under that bondage. And third, the third S is Satan was defeated. Flip Wilson, if you're old enough to remember that name, said the devil made me do it.
Right.
Well, I'm not saying he didn't have a hand in influencing your mindset, but a lot of times before I blame it on the devil, I might need to blame it on the fact that I don't realize that my sins have been crucified at the cross also. And that's manifested by just simply knowing that we were buried with Christ, we were raised in newness of life so that we can walk the life that God has provided for us.
Okay.
This is a principle that is very elementary, but I cannot tell you the people that don't go past just knowing my sin is forgiven.
Well, Janie, I think it has a lot to do with how we perceive.
Good word.
You know, changing
good
our
word.
Perspective.
Very
you know,
good.
There's a lot of things that we've talked about on our broadcasts about the cross that has been lessons that I learned, but not understanding the depths of it.
Yes.
You know, you learn general topics, but when you understand the depths of it and get down to the root and the soil.
Being a student that did not like math, I recognized that you had to have arithmetic before you could have algebra. And if you ever got past algebra, then there was geometry, trigonometry before you got to calculus. Many people who have accepted Jesus Christ and have been redeemed never get past the arithmetic of redemption. In other words, they stay their whole life traveling here, not knowing the freedoms that God has given. That sets them up to be more receptive to the transgressions, the iniquities, the wickedness, the lawlessness.
Okay.
Because they've never gotten past the arithmetic of what it is to be a new creature in Christ.
It's kind of like building a house. You see a house sitting there. You know that there's studs and walls and plumbing and foundation and all of that creates the house. But for me to go and build a wall, for me to go and put the foundation down, I wouldn't know how to do that. And that's the same concept that I have learned the structure in which those things have to be placed so that I can understand why I believe what I believe. You know, and I think that's a lot of our issues today as Christians is that we've been taught generalities.
Good point.
And we understand the general concept of it, but we don't understand how it all is put together on the underside.
Well, you certainly can't start to put a stem wall up until you've got a foundation, can you?
Exactly.
And can you imagine spending your whole life having the shingles and the 2x6s and spend your whole life trying to figure out how you're going to get that stuff built when you haven't got the foundation? I mean, it would be impossible. It's utterly ridiculous.
Right.
But it's very practical in this world of what we call the church. So basically, sin means missing the mark, doing something against God or against a person. That's your big perspective. All right.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, have you ever shot a rifle or have you ever had a bow and arrow with target practice?
Right, yes.
And I don't know about you.
Or throwing darts.
Okay.
That's more my style.
Okay, all right. Well, I did have a bow and arrow at one time, and Sharon, when I hit the hay bale, I was elated. But let's just stop and think. Jesus Christ, because of the cross, has provided us with the ability in Him to hit the bullseye on every day of our life. But He does tell us not to grow weary in well-doing. So we need to offer one another, as well as ourselves, grace on as He trains us and schools us how to be a marksman to get that bullseye. And you know, we're going to miss a lot. But what happens in real life is we sometimes are hitting one another.
And that would just go back to the jealousy and envy and strife and contention.
Yes.
And we do that to ourselves.
Well, and we need to recognize the main way that we get under attack is through our senses. What we look at, what we hear, what we see, what we feel. When our senses get in control, overriding what the Spirit wants to do in controlling our senses. In other words, my senses say, I want to watch this program. Whereas the Spirit is saying, why don't you come apart and wait on me and let me fill you, your senses, with what I want you to know for life and for eternity. We choose to get entrapped in something here of this world that cannot offer us anything. It may satisfy a sense, but it doesn't nourish, it doesn't feed the whole person to be able to walk in the difficult days that we're called to walk in.
Taking everything back to the scriptures to know the truth of who we are in Christ and what God says about us will keep us grounded in truth.
Yes. We have cities where they surround and build a wall, especially back in the Old Testament times, and then they had certain gates by which you could enter that city. And the gates were guarded. The walls had sentries on them to guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that guard kept them from the enemy. Well, if that's true as an Old Testament principle, how much more true in the New Testament when we don't live in walled cities right now?
Well, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul was sharing with the Corinthian church that you are God's building.
Yes.
You are God's temple. You are his husbandry. We as believers have this tendency to go through the motions of Christianity rather than looking at our physical body as being God's temple, where he is housed in the Holy Spirit inside us. And the things that come out of us, our attitude, our actions, all come from our thoughts.
Yes.
And when we just let whatever the world has to offer come in through the gates, you know, our eyes, our ears, acting like the world, looking like the world, then God's living in a shack.
And, good point.
You know, it's made of wood, hay, and stubble,
uh-huh.
and it can't stand. And when we look no different than the world does, then it's hard for the world to see Christ. And that's where we are today. That's why there's so much fear. That's why there's so much evil being predominant in the world today, because we're not displaying Christ in a manner that looks different than the world. We're not setting ourselves apart for the purpose of building Christ-like character. So under the topic of sin, then we have these types of sins: transgression, iniquity, wickedness, guile, lawlessness. And so we'll go with number one, transgression.
Okay.
So transgression is a type of sin or a category of sin.
Sin.
And you have transgression defined here as willful rebellion against a given standard. It's intentional disobedience, and that is also presumptuous sin.
Yes. Selfishness is the root of it. We can take it one step further and say, and that goes back to pride. And your selfishness says, I want it now, I want it my way. Father God, I don't want it your way. I think I know more what I need for myself, do you hear, I, rather than what sovereign God who created me and knows what's best for me, not only here on planet Earth, but for throughout eternity, and I'm not willing to listen to his wisdom. Now, we're back when we got into 1 Corinthians. Do we want earthly wisdom or do we want heavenly wisdom?
Right.
Demas was a faithful servant, but he decided he loved the world more than he did love serving Christ.
Right.
And he committed a transgression because he left his walk with the Lord to go back and love the world. That's a perfect example.
Wow. Okay. That's a good point. So then there's iniquity. Iniquity is a path that is not level or equal. It's ups and downs, bouncing from flesh to spirit, living a life of inconsistency, double-minded, hypocrisy. And Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear.
And this really, iniquity has to do a lot with the character of your conscience.
Okay.
Okay, so In
and that's our thinking process.
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so just when you think of iniquity, just think of wrong character. Now, it's deeper than that, but if we're just trying to put an association with a word, then let's just say it's our inner conscience that doesn't want to repent.
Okay. All right. So then there's wickedness, and that's a falling back or turning aside, not keeping your path straight and smooth as we abide in Christ, loving things of the world and making that your priority, planning schemes of destruction.
Well, yes, and actually there is even a more devious association with the word wickedness. It's people who portray to be the family of God, and they're not. They're wolves among mm-hmm. the sheep.
Okay.
Or they are unbelievers who are trying to destroy the body of Christ because they are threatened by the body of Christ inhibiting their prosperity.
Okay.
All right, you have in the Word of God in 1 Timothy 1:20, there were a couple of people who made their living creating idols for people to worship false gods.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. And they made their living and they prospered by these false gods that they carved and created. Well, when Paul came to town, Paul exposed the false gods for the true and living God. And their businesses went down the tubes.
Mm-hmm.
So they were wicked in trying to destroy Paul because Paul's righteousness and truth was destroying them. And if you don't think that's not happening today in America, the righteousness and the truth of God is inhibiting people who are bent on their own way of living mm-hmm. and making it mandatory that they can impose it on others.
Right.
And so we are talking in today's culture of a wickedness that people have never seen before since this nation was formed.
Mm-hmm.
That's wickedness is what we're seeing today when you turn right. on the nightly news.
Right.
What
wow.
a better illustration in living color.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So then there's guile, and that's sneaky deceit, cunning, trickiness, making your life look good on the outside when you're full of gunk on the inside.
Yeah. A simple way to say that is when you're hypocritic and two-faced.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And then we have, I think the last one you haven't covered is the sin of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really when you are defiant of anything that God has set up as His standards. We don't live under the Old Testament law. Grace and the love of God and the redemption of the cross has freed us from Old Testament rituals, although it never harms us to keep the Ten Commandments because that would be our hearts expressing love.
Mm-hmm.
But the law of lawlessness is when we decide to redefine God's laws.
Okay.
And here we're very touchy. Here we're talking about, let's just say, redefining marriage.
Oh, right. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, it's just not in this economy that we have said that there are other options for marriage. The Word of God does state from the beginning it was one man, one woman. But we are redefining those options now.
Well, we're redefining man and woman as well.
And we're yes. In other words, God didn't make you a man or a woman. He mm-hmm. made you what you think you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And these are our lies, and this is the age of lawlessness. And again, we have redefined that God gives life for life, but now we've redefined that if there is life in a mother's womb, we can do whatever we want to with it.
Right.
So this is how you redefine law lawlessness.
And that's redefining murder as well. So murder is now redefined as a choice.
Yes,
you know,
good point. I find that this has really helped me in knowing when I look at someone or a situation where I'm struggling.
Right.
I can usually go back and say, does this fall more under an iniquity or does this fall more under a transgression?
Right.
Or am I actually caught up in the iniquity or the lawlessness, which is one form of sin?
All right, Janie, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzlaff saying, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHartz.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hartz, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.